Chapter 17, An Unexpected Visitor. Melissa was alone in her stall. Nala had left. Her bed was positioned against the side wall, allowing her to watch the hallway while lying down. She wanted to be aware of any sounds or movements to avoid being caught off guard. If someone approached, she needed time to assume the submissive position to avoid punishment. She wished she could lay on her side to keep an eye on the hallway through the stall bars. But laying on her right side was uncomfortable due to the recently tagged ear, so she alternated between lying on her back or left side, only turning when she heard someone coming. The cream Nala had provided for her ear tag site was effective, and as long as she avoided pulling on the tag, she felt little pain. Her sleeping arrangement was simple, just a cot with a foam mattress and a pillow, no blanket. The heat made blankets unnecessary for warmth, but she longed for one for comfort and to cover her naked body. Melissa had been compelled to strip the day before at lunchtime and hadn't worn clothes since, marking this as her first full day of being entirely nude. At the end of the day, Nala arrived and took off Melissa's restraints. Melissa was in the submissive pose when Nala entered, and she proceeded to unlock her ankle chains and remove her leash. Now, all Melissa wore was the collar that Mr. Mengistu had locked around her neck the previous day. She touched the collar, wondering when she would be free of it. It seemed unbelievable to her that only a day had passed. It felt like she was wearing the collar for a long time by now. As night approached, the inventory clerk, who also doubled as a guard, made his rounds. He walked through the C4 barn where Melissa was housed, ensuring everything was in order among the animals. Later that evening, the lights in the barn were dimmed. Melissa was drained from the day's events. It had been a long and stressful day. Though she longed for sleep, the reality of her situation made it hard to find rest. Here she was, confined in a barn stall, akin to livestock, stripped naked, handled by strangers, chipped and ear-tagged. How could anyone find peace under such circumstances? Anxiety about what might happen next kept her awake. With no control over her fate, trapped in this cell, she feared what might be done to her. Nala had mentioned a potential 14-day stay. 14 more days like this. Her mind wouldn't quiet down enough to let her sleep. Melissa heard the door to the barn open. She turned so she could get a view and lifted her head so her ear tag would not cause her pain. She heard footsteps and saw the light cone of a flashlight. The steps came closer, and eventually she was able to see the inventory clerk. When he came closer to her stall, she heard him take out the keys. Melissa was alarmed and sat up. He was here for her. She had to get into the submissive pose. The barn door creaked open, snapping her attention to the sound. She turned so she could get a view while lifting her head so her ear tag would not cause her pain. She observed the beam of the flashlight. Footsteps grew louder as they neared her stall. She saw the man wearing a headlight. Recognizing the approaching figure as the inventory clerk, Melissa's pulse quickened. He was unlocking her stall. She knew she had to assume the submissive pose. The keys clicked in the lock, and Melissa promptly lowered herself to the cool concrete floor, entering the submissive pose as the door swung open, allowing the clerk to enter her stall.
"Very good,"
he said.
"Thank you, sir,"
Melissa meekly replied.
"Get on your bed,"
he ordered her. Melissa was alarmed. Was he going to rape her? They were alone here and there were no witnesses. Nobody would hear her if she screamed. She wasn't even sure if she had any rights that protected her from being raped. But surely that could not be permitted. Trembling, Melissa got up.
"Please don't hurt me, sir,"
she implored. The man chuckled.
"No one is going to harm you, young lady,"
he reassured her. Although his words were comforting, Melissa was still clueless about his true intentions. He would not rape her, and this gave her a small sense of relief. She decided not to question him further and simply comply. He hadn't told her to lie down, so she took a seat on the bed. Approaching her, the man retrieved one of the chain leashes that had been used on her earlier. He locked one end with a padlock to her collar and the other to a bar of her stall just over the left side of the headboard of her cot. Melissa instinctively grasped the chain at her collar with one hand and at the bar with the other.
"Why are you doing this, sir?"
she asked.
"It's a surprise,"
he responded with a chuckle before departing, leaving the stall door open. Melissa tested the chains, pulling at both her collar and the bar she was attached to. She had limited freedom, able only to lie on her bed or stand and move just over a meter away. From the bar she was tethered to, her nerves jangled about what this surprise could entail. Would another person come for her? Being naked and chained made her feel like prey, vulnerable to anyone who might walk by. Sleep was now out of the question. After some time, footsteps echoed again. Someone was coming. Melissa tensed, her eyes fixed on the approaching figure through the bars of her stall. "Arbeck!" Melissa exclaimed in disbelief as she recognized his face. "Arbeck!" "Melissa!" Arbeck echoed, hurrying into her stall. Seeing Arbeck filled Melissa with joy. She had feared he might not find her, but here he was, coming to her rescue. He looked as good as ever in his shirt and shorts. Arbeck quickly closed the distance between them. Melissa wanted to go to him as well, but she was leashed to the bars, so she had to stand and wait for him to reach her. When he did, he enveloped her in a tight hug. Melissa hugged him back, careful to keep her ear tag from being painfully squished. She was so relieved to finally see him. Eventually, Arbeck pulled back, looking into her eyes.
"God, Melissa, it's been hell since we were separated,"
Arbeck said.
"How are you?"
"I've been absolutely miserable. Look what they have done to me. They have stripped me and chained me to the bars. They are holding me in a barn with animals. And look at this."
She gestured to her right ear.
"They have stapled an ear tag to me."
"Oh no!"
Arbeck gasped, his distress evident as he took in her condition.
"This is absolutely awful. Melissa, I had no idea that this would happen. Seriously."
"Careful,"
Melissa warned when Arbeck reached to touch the ear tag.
"It is still raw and hurts if you move it. Arbeck, you have to get me out of here. I want to go home with you."
"Melissa, I'm not sure how I can do that,"
Arbeck admitted.
"It was challenging enough to track you down. They do not allow visitors. Is that a genuine livestock tag you have there?"
"How did you even get inside then?"
she questioned. "I bribed a guard at the gate and then the clerk who let me into the barn. Yes, it is a real ear tag. They stapled it on me before. Arbeck, I can't stay here. I can't. You have to get me out of here." Melissa shared with Arbeck the ordeal of being tagged like livestock and some of the degrading treatments she had endured, though she omitted the most degrading aspects. She didn't disclose the humiliating experience of being locked in the restraining pillory or how the man had pushed his finger up her anus multiple times. She also skipped mentioning the submissive pose she was forced to adopt. She did talk about the cramped, chained journey in the van, but kept silent about the catheter. She withheld these details not only because she couldn't bear to relive them herself, but also because she did not want Arbeck to imagine her in such situations. The bits she did reveal should be sufficient to spur him into action to help her get out of here.
"Wow,"
Arbeck responded, visibly taken aback.
"Melissa, I had no clue that slavery in this country was like this. I guess this wasn't such a good plan after all. But hindsight is 20/20, isn't it?"
"What? How could you not know this?"
Melissa asked. She wasn't sure if he was joking about the 20/20. After all, they had only known each other for a week. But this was too serious. She suppressed a laugh and kept a straight face.
"I was just a baby when I was last here. My parents moved when I was a baby and I grew up in England. My parents didn't like Grabesh and all they ever told me about it was that it was a backward country. And I've never visited myself until now.
How did you even know about the slaves here?
Well, my parents did tell me that. They never mentioned that slaves are naked, though. Maybe because I was a child when they told me about it. And I remembered how they once told me that slaves were transported as cargo and could be brought in if their owner was Grabesian. That's why I thought I could just get you in like that.
Melissa felt somewhat relieved. Arbeck hadn't deceived her. He had been genuinely ignorant about the realities of slavery in Grabesh. It was typical of him not to dig deeper into the matter. She needed to convey how critical it was for him to help her get out of here. The people here had already chipped her and tagged her ear. There was no telling what else they might do over the next 2 weeks, but Arbeck was already holding her hands, drawing her close, kissing her cheek, and trailing kisses down to her neck.
"Property of the state of Grabesh,"
Arbeck read aloud upon seeing the inscription on her collar.
"Yes, they put that on me at the airport yesterday. They said it means, oh."
Melissa was going to explain how the collar could be removed at a police station if Arbeck had his own collar for her, and how he could set her free. But Arbeck had spun her around and begun to massage her breasts.
"Arbeck, we'll have plenty of time for this once you get me out of here,"
Melissa said, gently moving his hands away from her chest. However, Arbeck then moved his hands to her vagina.
Melissa was on the verge of shifting his hands away again to talk, but she reconsidered. It was clear that Arbeck wasn't in the mindset to listen. Her nudity was a powerful distraction, especially for him. Whenever she had been naked in front of him before, even just after a shower at home, it always ended the same way. Now she was not only naked, but also collared and chained, essentially presented to him as his captive sex slave. Of course he would want to have sex with her. It was unrealistic to expect him to have a coherent conversation under these circumstances. Melissa realized she could not go against the tide. She decided to give in, sleep with him, to get this out of his system. Once he had satisfied his urges, they could talk. And truthfully, after the ordeal she'd endured, the tasers, the cattle prods, her labia held tightly in some man's fist to control her, the pain from the ear tagging, her body craved the comforting touch of someone she cared about. Moreover, if she resisted now, might he lose motivation to free her? Would he simply leave the nagging girlfriend behind in the barn? If he wasn't motivated, he wouldn't find a solution, and she would be left to suffer here. The door to her stall was wide open. He could walk out anytime he wanted. She was chained here. Instead, if she could make this an experience he'd never forget, he'd surely miss her when he left, and would be more eager to get her out of there swiftly. Her best strategy was to provide him with the best sex of his life. With that in mind, she turned to him and kissed him, indicating her willingness. Arbeck wasted no time in shedding his clothes, letting them fall beside the cot. He stepped close to her. Melissa recalled why she was drawn to him initially. It wasn't for his intellect, as evidenced by their current predicament, but he had his advantages: tall, with an athletic build, and well-defined abs. And his penis was rock hard right now. Determined to give him the best sexual experience he'd ever known, Melissa decided on oral sex. She believed it was something that really excited men. She knelt down in front of Arbeck and took his erect penis in her mouth. Arbeck let out a lustful sigh. Not because the blowjob was any good, it wasn't. This girl had clearly no idea what she was doing. She was kneeling before him and had taken his penis into her mouth. She was sliding her lips back and forth over his shaft, which did absolutely nothing for him. Melissa clearly had no idea what she was doing and had never bothered to think about how stimulating a penis worked. She didn't need to. Melissa was young and beautiful. Seeing her naked was highly arousing to him. Melissa would never have had to worry about getting a man hard. Even now, as she was fecklessly moving her lips along his shaft, her feeble attempt at oral sex, he was fully erect. At least she wasn't grazing him with her teeth. She seemed to know that much. No, what truly excited him, beyond her naked form, was that she had knelt before him intent to sexually please him. She wanted to make him feel good. When she recounted her ordeal at the airport, how they had restrained her naked and caged her, he had outwardly shown sympathy, but internally, the scenario had turned him on. It was not his fault. It wasn't something he could control, and he did not want Melissa to know about these internal feelings. Her kneeling position, the collar around her neck, and even her being chained to the bars, it all fueled his arousal. Tracing the chain from her collar to the bars with his eyes, he couldn't help but moan. Rationally, he knew the treatment Melissa received was abhorrent. But on a primal level, his instincts reveled in the sense of ownership over her. These thoughts were sending powerful waves of desire through him, causing him to moan with the intensity of his arousal. It didn't matter that Melissa was totally botching the blowjob. She had never given him a blowjob before, and he suspected this was her first attempt in her life. She was clearly also not getting anything out of this. But what fueled his arousal was her willingness to do it for him. The act of her kneeling at his feet, trying to bring him sexual satisfaction, was what excited him. Enough of this nonsense blowjob, he thought, and he lifted Melissa to her feet. He held her by her upper arm, harder than necessary, and pushed her down on the bed. Melissa was on all fours on the bed, facing the bars. Her leash was hanging from her collar, down to the bed where it ran over the headboard of the cot, to connect to the bars in front of her. Arbeck was kneeling behind her, inserting his penis into her. Melissa had been naked for more than a day by now. She found an unexpected arousal in her constant nudity, despite her ordeal. And when she had seen Arbeck, she had known it would happen, and she had looked forward to feeling some warmth for a change. So when he pushed his penis into her, she was ready, and it slid in easily. His penis was average in length, but notably thick, and Melissa relished the sense of fullness it provided and how it expanded her vaginal canal. As he moved his penis back and forth, she could feel the veins and the texture of his penis, her breathing becoming heavy with enjoyment. Her leash swayed with each thrust, as did her breasts, enhancing the animalistic feeling that her treatment had already instilled in her. Being aroused, she was able to embrace this sensation, imagining herself as an animal in captivity, being bred by a breeding bull. Melissa usually kept quiet during sex and masturbation, not wanting her housemates or, before that, her parents, to know of her sexual activities. She had prided herself on being a clean and proper girl, always well kept, and making lustful sounds did not align with the image she maintained. But her housemates were nowhere near. She was isolated from anyone she knew except for Arbeck. Arbeck wouldn't judge her for vocalizing her pleasure, especially since he was being quite vocal himself. If anything, he might have found her being too quiet off-putting. Melissa allowed herself to moan with each exhale, ensuring she was quieter than Arbeck, which she felt was acceptable. She gave herself permission to let go of the long-held restraint over her own expressions. Here, where everyone treated her like an animal, she felt it was fitting to act like one. As she moaned again, it was an unscripted, natural response to the pleasure she felt, a whining sound escaping her lips. Arbeck's thrusts grew more intense, perhaps spurred on by her vocal encouragement. And with the loosening of her self-restraint, it felt like she had also loosened floodgates of her lust. Her lust, apparently having been restrained, flowed generously through her as if a water gate had been opened. Emboldened, she moaned again, louder this time. She felt Arbeck's hand on her back, pushing her down. She complied by laying down flat on the cot, face down. She quickly adjusted her leash to avoid lying on it. He took her hands in his, holding them against her shoulders as he leaned over her, his front pressed to her back. He shifted her hair aside to uncover her neck, careful not to irritate her ear tag. He kissed her cheek, then moved to her neck, gently biting into her skin, not to hurt but to let her feel the pressure of his teeth before moving down to her shoulders. As Arbeck laid himself on Melissa and held her, she felt warm rays of lust entering her from his skin into hers. An involuntary shiver ran through her, followed by a lustful sigh. The sensation of his teeth grazing her skin sent electric tingles through her. Her rational mind was submerged by the overwhelming tide of lust, and she surrendered to her primal urges, letting go of all thought. With Arbeck resuming his thrusts, the sexual tension in her vagina escalated. She had the capacity to reach climax through penetration alone, a trait she had always possessed. Now, with her guard down, the sensations were reaching new heights. She voiced her pleasure with whines as he thrust into her. He gripped her shoulders, continuing his rhythmic motions, and the tension in Melissa reached its peak. An orgasm washed over her, intense, mind-numbing, and prolonged, her breathing turning into deep, satisfied sighs. Arbeck didn't notice. He was too busy enjoying himself and the contractions from Melissa's vagina. Melissa experienced a second orgasm, followed by a third. She remained still, not wanting to disrupt the continuous stimulation that was fueling her climaxes. The physical pleasure was a stark contrast to the hardships of her day, and she relished in it. Arbeck, on the other hand, was too caught up in his own sensations to notice.
"I'm close,"
he announced with a groan. Then he reached his climax. The sensation of ejecting his sperm, combined with the rhythmic contractions of Melissa's vagina from her latest orgasm, felt as though she was sucking every last drop out of his penis. He collapsed onto her and supported himself on his arms so he would not suffocate her. He was breathing heavily.
"Wow, that was great,"
he exclaimed. When Arbeck stopped thrusting, it was as if a grandiose orchestra had been playing a symphony and the conductor had waved his baton in the cutoff gesture to bring the music to a sudden halt. The music had stopped and reality started setting in again. If this had been some kinky BDSM play, then her boyfriend would now unchain her and let her out of her collar. But this was not a game. Arbeck did not have a key to her bonds, and Melissa would remain in her chains. Melissa went from being washed in lust and shaken with orgasms back to the captive girl she was, naked, collared, and chained in her stall next to her boyfriend. She longed to bask in the afterglow, but her rational mind was reasserting itself, reminding her that there was no time for relaxing. There were pressing issues at hand. Now that Arbeck had ejaculated into her, his sex urge would be muted for a while, and Melissa hoped she could use this window of opportunity to have a conversation with him. Perhaps now, even though she was still bound and naked, they could have a meaningful discussion. He had moved her to the edge of the cot and laid down next to her.
"Arbeck,"
she said, propping herself up.
"We need to talk. You need to get me out of here. I can't take it how they are treating me here."
"These are the import regulations. Melissa, I had no idea how these things work. But now that you are here, there is nothing to stop this. They have to do their checks on you, and then you will be released. Then we can finally let this all behind us and continue with our normal lives."
"This place is hell,"
she started, and reiterated again what had been done to her.
"You got in here by bribing the guard. Can't you bribe someone to get me out of here as well?"
"Bribing the guard is one thing. The guard is doing this because, well, he does not make a lot of money in the first place, so bribing him is affordable. But he is also not letting you go. So once I'm gone, everything is back to normal and he won't get in trouble. If he let me take you from here, then people would notice you're missing and the guard would be in trouble. So there is no way he would allow that.
Isn't there someone else you could bribe?
Like who?
I don't know. Someone higher up in the health office who can decide that I don't need all these stupid checks. Someone who just signs a piece of paper and I can go.
Melissa, I have no idea who I would have to do that. And whoever that is would be an important man. I don't know how I'd get to someone like that and the bribe will be very expensive. I can't afford that.
So I just have to stay here and be tortured for 2 more weeks?
Melissa asked incredulously.
Is it really that bad here? This Nayla woman told you that the worst was behind you.
Arbeck!
Melissa called with indignation.
You would really have me live in a barn for 2 weeks, naked, where they can just chain me up like this. She rattled her neck chain and pulled it taut. You said at the airport this would be over quickly, and now you want to leave me here like this for 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
He paused, then he said,
Maybe.
Maybe what?
Melissa grasped for the bit of hope presenting itself.
I'll ask Tariq. Oh, I forgot to mention. Tariq and the others are here too. I'll see if they can come up with something.
When Arbeck referred to Tariq and the others, he meant his friend group. Tariq, his girlfriend Amina, and Zahara. Melissa had met them, and they had welcomed her into their friend group. The three of them had in fact grown up in Grabesh, and only moved to England as students. So they would be more knowledgeable about how the system worked in Grabesh.
So they were here all along, and you didn't ask them how you could get me out?
No, they only arrived this morning. They managed to get a flight to Italy, and from Italy to here. And of course I asked them. Trust me, they were shocked about what had happened, and they have given me a hard time about it. I asked them how I could get you out as quickly as possible, and they said they don't know a way to do it.
Okay.
But they did know how to find this place, where you are kept, and that I might be able to bribe a guard to get in. And it worked. I made it to you,
he said, giving her upper leg a playful pinch. Melissa felt some hope coming back, hearing these words. His words relieved her in so many ways. No, he had not tricked her into becoming his slave to take advantage of her. And he was trying to get her out of here. He genuinely was trying to free her. And his friends, who knew the country well, were helping. Without arousal, Melissa's leash and collar felt like they were trapping her again. She climbed on Arbeck's front to lay on him. She told herself that this way she could make better eye contact with him to instill the urgency of the task in him. But there was another reason. This position allowed her to press her vagina against him, hoping to reignite her arousal, at which point her nudity and restraints felt less like captivity and more like a kinky game. She straddled him, her legs on either side of his, with his penis lightly touching the entrance of her vagina.
Do you think they could figure out how you could get me out of here?
She asked, her face close to his, the chain from her collar draping over his neck, and then onto the bed.
We discussed this today,
Arbeck said, his breathing becoming more labored. Having Melissa as a human blanket on top of him turned him on a lot, and it became harder for him to think straight despite just having ejaculated.
Using bribes is possible in theory, but it would be hard. It would cost a lot of money.
She adjusted to sit upright on him, causing the chain to pull tight between her collar and the bars. Sitting upright on Arbeck's penis was the extent her leash permitted her to move away from her anchorage at the stall's bars.
I've started withdrawing money, but there are limits to how much I can get at once,
he went on.
And I used some of it just now to get in here to you.
Melissa leaned forward to ease the tension on her neck from the collar. She nodded.
You'll keep trying, right? You won't just leave me here.
Of course,
Arbeck replied. He was hard again. He understood that she wanted to talk, that she needed to be reassured that he was fighting to free her and to understand the situation. That was why he had come. It was important that she knew he had not abandoned her. But if she sat naked on him and her vagina was touching his penis, then he would get hard, and he would do what he had to do. Melissa disliked the reminder of her limited freedom as the leash hung visibly between her collar and the bar. She chose to lie down on Arbeck instead, relishing the extensive skin contact. She loved the sensation. He embraced her with both of his arms and moved one hand behind Melissa's head to pull her down on his head for a kiss. It was a kiss in which Melissa surrendered to him. Her mouth loosely opened, and when she felt his tongue, she offered hers, and they both touched in a passionate wet kiss. Arbeck pushed his erect penis into the hug of Melissa's still moist vagina with ease.
Freeing you is a big deal because a lot of people will notice that you are gone,
he said while breathing heavily. He drew her in for another kiss, his focus slipping. He lifted her head slightly to keep talking.
The guard does not have to worry about such things when he allows me to visit you. He will pick me up later, you will stay here, and everything will go back to normal. So it is safe for him to do that. But if you are gone, then everyone will know. You are not just another animal to them. You are the pretty white girl. Everyone knows you. And if you are missing, everyone will wonder what happened to you. People will start asking questions.
Melissa nodded.
We will continue looking into how we can get you out,
Arbeck assured her.
I will ask them again later.
Promise me you will try,
Melissa insisted.
I promise,
he replied, his breath quickening. He held her close, moving his penis back and forth within her. Arbeck meant it, though he didn't find it entirely fair that she extracted promises from him in this situation. His rational thought was hanging from a thread again. It was about to be snuffed out, because the blood it needed to function was being redirected to his penis to prop up his erection. His basal instincts had decided that this was more important right now. He would have promised her anything she asked for right now. His basal instincts had decided that all that mattered right now was to ejaculate into the pretty white chick in front of him. If she had asked for his kidney, he would have agreed to give it to her as well. It was impossible for him to stop thrusting in her now.
Promise you will do everything you can to get me out of here,
Melissa whispered, pushing herself against him. She pushed her cheek against his. She had to use her left cheek because she didn't want the ear tag on her right to touch anything. She lifted her leash so it wouldn't drape over Arbeck's throat and routed it over his head. Melissa's lips were close to his ear as she whispered,
Anything it takes.
I promise, Melissa.
Arbeck panted, his voice thick with desire.
Anything it takes?
Melissa felt reassured by his promise. That was all she could hope for. She trusted that he was committed to her liberation. She allowed herself to unwind, her tension dissipating, with the assurance she'd been seeking. She could now fully engage in the present.
I knew you would not abandon your slave girl, master,
she said playfully. Arbeck wasn't sure he had heard right. Then he realized she was role-playing. He was glad that the serious part of their conversation was over. He decided to join in.
Your master would never abandon his slave girl,
he played along, panting.
And as long as she provides him with sexual satisfaction, he shall not whip her.
Melissa hugged him tightly and enjoyed the thrusting of his penis. It was fun pretending to be his slave girl. The roleplay transformed her situation into something playful and consensual, a game rather than the harsh reality. She wasn't really a captive. This was just a hot sex game she was having with her boyfriend.
My master is too merciful,
she continued her role-playing game.
This slave girl is honored to provide her love services to her handsome master.
She must be kidding me, Arbeck thought. Is she trying to drive me wild? He was well aware that this was all just an act. She was role-playing. Melissa wasn't truly serious about any of it. He felt a wave of relief hearing her playfulness. It was the Melissa he knew. It showed that despite what she had endured, her spirit was unbroken. She was seeking some much-needed fun after the tough couple of days. But apparently, his subconscious hadn't gotten the message that this was just a game. He was engulfed by the raw, primal thrill of having power over Melissa. The feeling of being her master, possessing her, and the right to command her. In a few moments, the intensity of his arousal peaked, and once again, he reached climax and ejaculated into her. He could feel Melissa's contractions, her body seemingly eager to draw out every last bit from him. After that, they lay next to each other.
"You know, the guard or clerk or whatever he is thinks you're hot,"
Arbeck remarked.
"Uh-huh,"
Melissa responded, acknowledging the comment.
"Yeah, he actually asked me if he could, use you."
Arbeck chuckled.
"What?"
Melissa was horrified.
"He wanted my permission to, you know, bang you,"
Arbeck continued, still laughing.
"No!"
Melissa looked at him with revulsion.
"That's outrageous."
"Hey, he's the one who said it, not me,"
Arbeck clarified.
"And obviously, I said no. I don't share my little sex slave."
He kissed and hugged her in an attempt to soothe her. While Melissa outwardly seemed to calm down, she was inwardly shocked. The realization hit her that in her current position, she no longer had a say over who could have sexual relations with her. Arbeck did. As a free woman, men would have sought her consent. But now they approached Arbeck, because he was considered her owner. Had Arbeck given his consent, she would be facing a rape session with the guard later tonight. The idea was frightening for Melissa, but Arbeck had refused the guard's request, so the immediate danger was averted. Arbeck was on her side. Then they heard the door to the barn open. Arbeck jumped up and put his clothes back on. He did not want to be caught naked by whoever was coming. Melissa had nothing to wear. She wished she could stand and move around her stall, but the leash gave her so little leeway that she opted to remain seated on the bed, grasping her chain near its connection to the bars while observing Arbeck.
"It is probably the guard. He told me I'd have to go when his shift ends."
The sense of safety and intimacy Melissa had just experienced was fading. Arbeck was about to depart, leaving her alone and chained in the barn. But Melissa drew comfort from the fact that Arbeck was committed to get her out of here, standing firmly by her side and had not deceived her. This realization made her situation seem more tolerable. Even if he couldn't get her out of here, they would eventually reunite, and he would free her from her enslavement. However, she faced the reality of spending another 13 days in the captivity of the health office. The slight ache from her ear tag reminded her of her condition. Nala had assured her the worst was over. And so, even though he was leaving her, she was in a better mood than she had been before.
"Don't forget about your slave girl,"
she reminded him playfully.
"Oh, come on. I could never forget you,"
he responded reassuringly. The guard had arrived at the door, waiting for him to step out. Melissa longed for a final embrace, but her leash didn't allow her to go to where he was getting dressed. Arbeck, now dressed, approached her. She stood up, taking a small step towards him to bid farewell. The chain tightened, and she knew that another step would yank her collar. She held the chain to prevent this and waited for him to come to her for a hug. They embraced, and as he released her, she looked at him with an intense gaze.
"I know,"
he said, responding to her unspoken plea.
"We'll do everything to get you out. I promise."
With that assurance, Melissa hugged and kissed him once more. Then Arbeck departed through the open door of her stall, and she turned to hold the bars of her stall and watch him go. The guard slammed the door shut and escorted Arbeck out of the barn, leaving Melissa locked into the stall and leashed. Lying back on the cot, Melissa reflected on her time with Arbeck, attempting to find some peace. She noticed his semen beginning to leak from her vagina, but with no means to clean herself, she chose to disregard it. She hoped the guard would return shortly to unchain her. Melissa also needed to urinate, but the bucket was in the other corner. beyond the distance her leash permitted her to go. After a few minutes, the guard returned.
"Had a good conjugal visit?"
he inquired with a smirk.
"Yes, sir,"
Melissa answered quietly and submissively, despite the intimate nature of the question. She didn't want to risk any trouble by not answering. Her main wish was to be freed from her leash and left alone. Without entering her cell, the guard reached through the bars to unfasten the padlock, securing the chain. He then pulled the chain out, dragging Melissa to the bars until her collar snagged on them. Melissa's head was yanked upward, her chin and chest uncomfortably pressed against the iron bars. Although she raised her hands, she kept them by her sides, not daring to resist the guard. She felt helpless anger for being treated like this, but she was also relieved that her leash was being removed. He continued by unlocking the padlock that connected the chain to her collar, thereby freeing her from its hold. Noticing the trickle of her boyfriend's semen descending between her legs, he handed her a tissue.
"Here, clean yourself up,"
he said, passing it through the bars.
"Thank you, sir,"
Melissa said, and took the tissue to wipe away the semen and a wet patch on the mattress. She tossed the tissue into the bucket. With a nod, the guard, who seemed disappointed that Arbeck hadn't given him permission to have his way with her, departed, leaving Melissa for the night. She hated being locked in a barn stall, but she was calmer now, knowing that Arbeck and his friends were on her side and working to help her. The orgasms had done their part to relax her as well, and it wasn't long before she drifted into sleep.